the four areas, if you will. And the fundamental purpose of these amendments is to extend those rights for Pam for a period of 6 months. As I was talking to the city and PDC about this, both parties felt that it was critically important that if an extension was given, that specific tasks be designated for Pam to diligently pursue, some of which needed to be accomplished during that six-month period to see progress going forward. And on page 2 in section 2 of the Fifth Amendment, you see a list of those tasks. And I'm happy if there are questions or if you want to walk through those to do that with you. But I would point out, Commissioner Fritz, in particular, based on some of your questions, that it does contemplate that a good neighbor agreement and a CBA would be part of a binding development agreement in the future. These documents also contemplate that the city will have time to finish its very important planning process for the Rose Quarter District in the district plan. And I think that is going to be very important in informing council on a going forward basis as to the merits of any proposal that the Blazers bring forward for a specific project. And further extensions would be considered, recommendations would be made by the city and PDC to council based on what is accomplished in the next 6 months to determine whether further extensions are warranted. The other document you have in front of you is a resolution. The resolution provides a very thoughtful summary of the hard work that both the city and PDC have done to date to get us to this point. It also authorizes OMF and the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability to work in concert with PDC to continue the planning process and to continue to work with the Blazers on the development of a firm and hopefully economically viable proposal. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Dave to talk briefly about what OMF's role will be specifically on a going forward basis.
Thank you. Yeah. That was very clear. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Again, I'm Dave Loggs in Office of Management Finance. And just to quickly highlight the role OMF plans to play in this next phase of work and some of the key issues we're going to focus on, we will serve to help coordinate and to help oversee the efforts of both the private sector partners and the public sector partners in this next phase of work. We will be focusing on protecting the city's property interests in the Rose Quarter. That includes the development areas and also the renovation of Memorial Coliseum, how that plan gets played out. We will place a key priority on protecting the city's revenue streams that currently come to us from the Rose Quarter businesses. And we will also be looking for opportunities to enhance revenues to the city as new developments occur within the Rose Quarter.
Thank you. Thank you. Skip, anything else?
No.
Any additional questions?
I wanted to take you up on your offer to discuss more the items A through G that you referred to are the conditions under which there has, according to this amendment, has to have been substantial progress on before the council would do what we're doing today, vote to extend it for 6 months. So I had a couple of questions in terms of just getting your insight with where we're at. I won't go through each of them, but one of the conditions, in fact, the last one, G, is that and it specifically says, negotiate with Portland Winterhawks, the city, and the PDC regarding opportunities for private investment in the renovation of the Memorial Coliseum, and negotiate toward a private investment plan that provides support to the existing and potential tenants of Memorial Coliseum and or potential sources of private equity. So given that this amendment that we're voting on says that there has to have been substantial progress on that, what is the progress on item G?
So just to clarify that point to make sure we're on the same page, Commissioner Leonard, that these are tasks that need to be completed or that we need to see substantial progress on during the 6 month
by May 24th, 2011.
Correct. So these are not things that I think many of these things are underway and have been in process for some time, but this is to provide an additional 6 months to move these things forward.
So the point that I would make is that this language was the language that has always been in the agreement, and is that correct?
So
that was due to expire November 24th, 2010.
It was not. So
it was not.
So all of these items, A through J, mm-hmm. are all newly added brand new section to the development agreement. So this level of detail and specificity does not exist in the current documents at all.
That's helpful. So this will be the conditions under which we'll move forward for the next 6 months from November 24th to May 24th.
Correct. So these are the tasks that PAM needs to work towards and try to accomplish in the next 6 months when, in May, we come back to council to discuss whether a further extension is warranted. You will be looking at, with advice from the city and PDC team, what has happened on each of these. Have they been accomplished? What progress has been made? And do you wish to continue to move forward?
So help me understand from our perspective why this contemplates by inference, and you just said directly, that this will probably lead to another extension. Why would I not think sitting here by May 24th we couldn't have a plan, given all the work that's been done up until now, given the resources we're going to focus on this for the next 6 months? Why couldn't I look forward to an agreement to vote on May 24th that was binding on all parties?
I think that I'm going to answer the question based on having been part of the River District and North McAdam as a staff in the past. I don't want you to be left with the impression that our conversations to date have been absent discussion, magnitude of investment or range of investment that might be possible. Those have been part of all the verbal discussions to get a sense as we look at, you know, it's an iterative process, as you know, as Mike and that team works on it. Those discussions have been underway. It very well is possible that elements of the district might be firmer in terms of a development agreement than some other part of the district. My goal is to be as concrete as possible and to show actual some elements of actual agreement. I think that it wouldn't be. I don't know if it's realistic to do that for the entire district, or it is necessarily in the city's best interest to lock down every aspect of the district. But I don't have a firm outlook on that either. I want you to know that we know that momentum and agreement is important. We have some financial deadlines that we have to meet for any of this to happen, and I think that's on the side of getting to clarity as soon as possible.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right, we have three people signed up to testify.
They are, and please come on up, are Bruce Judd, Gil Fry, and Veronica Bernier.
Gil fits into his uniform. Gil, is that your original uniform?
Yes, sir.
Wow, I should be so lucky to fit into something. To fit into anything, even a year old.
This is not original.
No. Please have a seat.
These pants.
Sir, why don't you begin?
Sorry.
And I appreciate you being here. And would you explain, this is we're the beneficiary of your work in a really important and useful way. So if you could explain what the group of students that are doing here.
Yes, my name is Bruce Judd from the University of New South Wales in Sydney, Australia, and from the Urban Development and Design Program, which is a master's program. We take our students overseas for two projects each year because we think it's very important for them to learn in an environment which is unfamiliar and where they can look at different cultural framework and a different legislative framework and learn that way, because much of what urban designers do now is international work. So we thank the mayor very much for his invitation for us to come, which has made it possible. We've got a multicultural group of international students. Here you can see them. I'll ask them to stand up if they wouldn't mind. And you can see who they are. There are 15 of them.
Glad you're here.
We're here also at the invitation of the PDC. And Kevin Brake, who's one of our graduates from our program, helped us engineer this project. We feel very fortunate to be here at a time when this project is kind of breaking, as it is at the moment. It's a very good learning experience for us. We're going to learn a lot more than I think we'll contribute to the project. Although, as the mayor said at the stakeholders meeting, we are free help at this point in time. So, we're very pleased to also have had the opportunity to be on this project while Mike McCulloch is working on it, and also for the University of Oregon to very generously allow us to use space and facilities in their room. And we will certainly be sending a report back to the PDC of our work for what value it might be. We hope maybe there might be some ideas in there that might stimulate thinking. And we certainly wish the city well in this project. It's a very exciting project. We're very impressed with the team of people that are working on it, and we're hoping that there'll be a very good result from it. So thank you for allowing us, Mr. Mayor, to be involved in this way.
Glad you're here. Veronica.
Hi.
Welcome back.
A gracious good morning to you, all of you at City Council here this morning. It's nice to see you all showing up and suiting up for a good effect for this city. Willkommen, that's German, trying to pronounce it. Konnichiwa, annyeonghaseyo, ohayo gozaimasu, bonjour, and bienvenidos. So it's good to be multicultural. With the Chinese students?
Some are, yes.
Yeah, great. Ni hao. But, or ni hao, depending on whether you're Mandarin or Cantonese speaking.
They're from Australia.
Okay, with that end of...
They say good day.
Good dog. Good dog about how the Norwegians then. Okay, good. Now that we covered all our bases.
That's good. Australian for hello, good
chase.
Morning.
Right. Okay, you do know how to speak the language. Good. I noticed that you're right on. Keep your eye on the ball, Sam. Okay, good. We are in a big ball game here at, in Portland, and I'm happy to say I'm a graduate of PSU. I was being a little humorous. It's good to keep your sense of humor around here, because that's the perspective you need, and keep smiling. It's going to get better. It can only get better.
I hope so.
Yeah. That's right. Okay, good.
Veronica, what is the point you would like to leave us?
It's getting better all the time. Good. I noticed Commissioner Dan Saltzman isn't here. I had something to say to him about trees, and that's probably why I came here. But the trees are important in our city, according to former Mayor Vera Katz. 65,000 were planted. And my friend Dan Saltzman, I worked for him. He's a good employer. Very straight, very very intelligent, and always run the ball, you know, and he always supports. I know if Dan were here, he'd have something to say about this issue. I don't know where he'd come in. Commissioner Nick Fishes.
Actually, if he were here, he'd be blushing right now.
That's right.
Yeah, you're right. I would have gotten him again. I love to get people on TV. But anyway, yeah, it's kind of funny. But anyway, no, here, to be serious, we do support growth from my group. Women's Affordable Housing Forum is always there in there hitting and pitching for the other team. The Blazers I like anything that's sports-minded. I am former slow-pitch softball person from Children's Hospital San Francisco when I was in LVN. I do support the growth. I think it's a good idea. I think I support the teams. I just have one caution about travel, safety, and cars and traffic. Those are the little hidden items. And the other thing I wanted to say is that the people living in the district should be developed, should be considered wherever we're going to gentrify or go up a grade in housing. I think about Upper Clayton and Diane Meisenhalter and Peg Malloy, friends of mine. I watched them develop it, and it went beautifully. They're all Victorians. But just keep in mind the genre here is much different.
Thank you.
It's zoned industrial, commercial.
It has a variety of zones. Veronica, thank you very much for your testimony.
And keep swinging.
Thank you, Mr. Gillard.
You're welcome.
Glad you're here. Welcome back.
Thank you very much, Your Honor, Mr. Mayor. I want to thank you for the position that you and your council have taken, that the Coliseum will stay. So that's good news to many of us. Thank you very much. I have written out a list of people that have supported my efforts in a friendly way, and there are about 50 to 60 on this list, and so sometimes I feel like a stand-alone veteran. But then on the other hand, I have a lot of citizens who have supported my opinions over a period of time. My name is Gil Fry. I'm a citizen. I'm a voter. I'm a serviceman and then a veteran. And I'm a volunteer. And since 1993, when they had their first open meeting on the Coliseum and the Rose Garden, I was probably the only Blazer season ticket holder that was there. And I said, do not destroy the Coliseum in order to make room for parking. So it ended up that now, after 17 years, it appears the Coliseum is going to stay. I am not in favor of moving the memorial walls that are down at a lower level. I realize there's a lot of talk that's now going that way, and maybe many of the veterans think that's great, and many of them probably do. But my opinion is that we should begin to learn what a Gold Star mother is. There's a lot of education involved in teaching the community and the society about that. Number two would be to teach the community what a Blue Star mother is. And I think we need to think about that. And then number three or four is that that memorial wall was never meant to be moved. But all you have to do is go and look at it. And the Gold Star mothers are probably the ones who picked that location. And there is much space on the memorial grounds for many, many, many memorials and memorial walls and honoring things that could be done throughout the whole property, and that could be considered and developed. Thank you.
Thank you all for your testimony.
Just to clarify, Mr. Fry, you're saying keep the wall where it is now and then add other memorials.
Add many more memorials and add much, much, much improvement to the facility. There's a lot that can be done, but there's a lot that can be done in honoring many people, including the Gold Star mothers and including those who served in the war but didn't die in the war. So there's a lot of options.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you all. Unless there's additional council discussion, Carla, would you please call the vote on the resolution?
Leonard?
So what we're voting on here today is not a specific plan or even a specific commitment outside some of the conditions that were discussed earlier, but rather whether or not to extend the development rights for the Trailblazers from November 24th, 2010, when they were due to expire, until May 24th, 2011. I think Mayor Adams would have been on solid ground to come today and say that, given that this agreement has existed for nearly two decades, it's time to look at another entity to assign the development rights to have something begin occurring in the Rose Quarter that has not happened up until now, as the mayor put better than I, notwithstanding the fact it's been drowning in good ideas for a long time. But I think the mayor is also on reasonable grounds to say, as he has today with this amendment, that we should give six more months to the city and the Blazers and the various partners that will be required to come up with a financially viable agreement, six more months to show substantial progress. So for me, just one person voting, I think that is a reasonable thing to request. But in 6 months, I also think it will be reasonable, if not to have a signed agreement by then, to be close enough that another six-month agreement isn't required, something less than that. But the standard I will use is I think that we could, if we were focused on it, have a done deal by May 24, 2011, and that is my goal. And if that isn't achieved, for me to support a further extension, there will have to be substantial agreement towards a signed agreement by May. So with those caveats in mind, I appreciate the focus that Mayor Adams has brought to this, and I think that if we maintain that focus until May, we'll have a much better idea of what will unfold at the Rose Quarter in the near future. Aye.
Fritz.
Thank you, Mayor Adams, for your leadership on this and for all the staff, for the Portland Development Commission, and all of our community partners. There's been a lot of discussion and really good, open, transparent discussion on this, which needs to continue. And I'm glad to support this agreement because I hope it will allow for more community discussion, for more community input, and for this to be a shared agreement that we can all get behind, as Commissioner Leonard said, when it comes back in good speed. I particularly thank Gil Fry for his ongoing work to help me understand the value of the Veterans Memorial Coliseum, and I'm very excited, Mayor Adams, that you have led the charge to rename it officially, and I'll be glad to support that. So thank you very much for all of your work. Aye.
Fish.
Well, I want to begin by thanking all of our panels. I think this is probably the most comprehensive presentation Council has ever received in its history on a proposal to extend a development clock for 6 months. But because there's a larger context, I think it was useful to put that out to the public, and I thank people for the excellent presentation. There are three keys for me in evaluating this proposal. The first is the agreement that we've already secured to preserve a Memorial Coliseum. And I compliment the mayor for deciding to rename the building and to take it back to its core and its heritage by naming it the Veterans Memorial Coliseum. I've lived in a lot of places in my life where cities have made a colossal blunder in taking a historic structure and sacrificing it for some short-term progress. And those stories continue to be told in cities across the country. This is a historic structure that is named for veterans, that was paid for by the people of Portland, and we have made, I think, the correct decision to preserve it. And so, for me, that is at the core of what we're doing. And I think to have demolished this building would have been short-sighted and a mistake. So that is the first point that I bring to this discussion. The second is that I think for some of us, the frustration has been that the planning process has been done not in a comprehensive way, but in a opportunistic way. And that is partly the hand that the mayor was dealt. But for me, a second feature that speaks well of this proposal is we're going back to a cornerstone of the best planning that we do in our community, which is a comprehensive plan, guided by a vision, but not simply site-specific. So building on the preservation of an important historical structure with great history in our community, moving to the larger process, which is a comprehensive vision for this quarter, which desperately needs to be activated. Desperately. The third compelling piece to me is the way the mayor is seeking to link job creation with our strategic plan and then the symmetry of linking the quarter to potentially a site at the post office linked by a bridge. That's pretty neat. Those to me are three very compelling reasons to act favorably on this. And again, what we are asked to do is a six-month extension of an agreement. When I was briefed, the mayor could hardly contain himself talking about different pieces of the puzzle, potential sources of public and private capital, and this stuff really gets his juices flowing. But my understanding in my briefing was that was not going to be the purpose of this hearing, to delve into those details. And so the mayor asked me for, in essence, my proxy so that he could go forward over the next 6 months and see what's the best deal he can possibly negotiate. So in that spirit, again, for me, the question before us was, is there a reason to extend the clock for 6 months? I think there's been a compelling reason to do that. And if I could put a marker down on something which is, I think, achievable, it is that as we think about bringing jobs here, and particularly linking up with a cluster of our economy, creating a 24/7 community, mixing housing and jobs, we at Parks are very interested in the active recreation component. And, you know, whether it's putting something on top of a garage that can be used for some type of sport, or whether we can create more opportunities for people to engage in public recreation in Memorial Coliseum. I do think one of the most compelling parts of a vision that was earlier presented to us by Doug Obletz was the idea that the public would be welcome at Memorial Coliseum, and there would be more opportunities for people to engage in active recreation there. And so that is something that I'll be looking at very closely. Again, I appreciate the presentation, which I thought was very thoughtful, and I appreciate the mayor's leadership and wish him well in the next 6 months, because I think the bar is very high, but let's get it right. Aye.
Adams.
Well, I want to thank my colleagues on the City Council for their consideration and thank them in advance for the consultation that the team will be making with each member of the City Council and all the bureaus of the city moving forward, in addition to the SAC, surrounding neighborhoods, our potential business partners. Also, in addition to those that I've already thanked, I want to thank Bruce Warner, the leader of PDC, Aaron Flynn, Patrick Quinton, and the core team on this, Kia, hi Kia, and Kevin, where's Kevin? Kevin, have done fantastic work out of PDC, Carl from the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, and the folks on my team that are in two different teams to make sure that we've got planning and the jobs piece focused on the jobs team. It's Skip Newberry, who testified, and on the planning team, it's Amy Rees. They've done just fantastic work on this. This is a very difficult project. This is a very difficult part of town, but I believe it is worth the effort because if we get it right, it will have a benefit citywide. It will put more Portlanders back to work, and it has the opportunity to improve our high school graduation rate and our college attainment rate. So I like the idea of high expectations, and our goal is to exceed them. So thank you all. Aye. Resolution is approved. You're welcome to stay to see democracy happen, or you can leave. Can you please read the title for regular agenda, emergency ordinance item number 1501?
Authorize acquisition of property at 1127 Southwest Blaine Court, Gresham, Oregon, for the Bureau of Technology Services.
Now, why would we be buying a piece of Gresham?
I thought you'd ask that question. Good morning, Mayor, Commissioner. Oh, I think it's actually afternoon now. Good afternoon, Mayor, Commissioners. My name is Mark Ranke. I'm the city's Chief Technology Officer and also the Director for the Bureau of Technology Services. As you know, BTS provides critical 800 megahertz public safety radio services for the city as well as many regional government agencies. Since 1995, we've leased facilities located at 1127 Southwest Blaine Court in Gresham in order to provide critical radio services covering East Multnomah County in Gresham. This location was chosen due to its ability to provide excellent radio communication, including in-building coverage. The property owner for this location unfortunately recently passed away, and the executor is selling the land which houses our radio tower and outbuilding. Our existing agreement with the property owner includes a provision that would allow them to terminate our agreement by providing the city 1 year's notice. The uncertainty of the future of the sale and the use of this location created the need for us to consider options that would allow the city to continue providing these critical radio services. We did conduct an analysis to determine if an alternate location for the site could be developed, which would provide adequate radio services. This analysis concluded that any replacement would require two separate radio sites in order to provide similar coverage. Estimated cost for this far exceeded the cost to purchase the land where our existing site is. Therefore, we believe it's in the best interest of the city to purchase the existing property through a negotiated real estate agreement. With assistance from staff from Facility Services, we've negotiated what we believe is a fair and reasonable price for the property. Although the proposed agreement includes three individual tax lots, only one is required for our radio site. Therefore, it's our intention to declare the two lots as surplus and dispose of them through sale in order to offset the cost of our acquisition. Our Bureau has budgeted sufficient funds to cover the acquisition and ongoing maintenance of this property, and we ask for your support of this purchase.
Mark, we got a more extensive briefing on this at a prior council, right?
That's correct. We did. I did individual briefings with each commissioner and the mayor.
Using that as an opportunity, are there any questions from council?
So if you could just clarify the answer to the mayor's question, why are we providing radio coverage in Gresham?
We actually use that site to provide coverage for the city of Gresham and Portland officers as well. It sits on about a thousand foot hill, and it provides outstanding coverage in that area.
And that's because we have a contract with Western Multnomah County to do that.
That's
right?
Correct.
So does this mean, as property owners in Gresham, that we can show up at their city council to complain about potholes and leaves
chickens
and
I'm sure you're welcome to.
All right. Thank you. Is anyone wish to testify on item 1501? Carla, can you please call the vote on this emergency ordinance?
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Thank you for your individual briefing. That was very helpful. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. 1501 is approved. Can you please read the title and call the vote? Second reading, item number 1502.
Authorize 5 individual contracts for on-call water main projects for Portland Water Bureau's Type 1 and Type 2 water mains projects. Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Thanks again to Marvin Weber at the Water Bureau. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. 1502 is approved. Can you please read the title and call the vote? Second reading, item number 1503.
Authorize 4 contracts for on-call professional technical services for Portland Water Bureau's Capital Improvement Program. Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
And thanks to Darren Kipper on this one. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. 1503 is approved. Can you please read the title for resolution? Item number 1504.
Adopt Portland Fire and Rescue's 2010-2015 Strategic Plan.
Commissioner Randy Leonard.
I'm pleased to introduce Fire Chief John Klum and whoever it is that he'd like to bring forward with him to talk to us about the Fire Bureau's strategic plan.
I have a whole cadre of individuals that have been involved with the project, but for right now, it'll just be myself. I'm John Klum, Fire Chief, your Fire Chief, City of Portland. Thank you for the opportunity to present Portland Fire and Rescue's 4th strategic plan. It's a 2010 to 2015 strategic plan. A little bit of background of why we do the strategic planning is that, again, we've had a strategic plan since 1994. This is our fourth successful plan. Each plan has been enabled us to build upon the last one, and it helps us continue to provide excellent public safety services to the citizens. It is in effect a roadmap for Portland Fire and Rescue for the next 5 years, basically to try to achieve some additional successes and excellence in service. It's not a static document. It does not remain on a shelf. It's an active document it's a living document. And to give you a result, the current strategic plan that we have, the 2005-2010, to date, 88% of that plan has been completed and implemented. It is also tied to the strategic plan. It's tied to the performance evaluations of our supervisors and managers. So there's a built-in accountability component with the individual business items within the particular division responsible. Portland Fire and Rescue uses a 3-tiered approach to ensure that implementation. We have the whole plan itself, which is the 2010-15 strategic plan, but we also have an annual business plan, which is more comprehensive bureau-wide, and it's broke down to annual division plans. And within those annual division plans, they have the specific business items, major initiatives, and the strategies, performance measures to be successful. The integration with the strategic plan, the strategic plan has been integrated into the budget process since fiscal year 07-08. It helps us track what our priorities are through a budget process. Our requests and decisions directly impact the goals and their outline in a plan and our ability to fulfill them. The 2015 strategic plan was a comprehensive plan as the previous ones, which include citizen outreach, stakeholders, both internal and external, employees and regional partners. This was the more open, or was an open process to where the status, current status was available through our media avenues. It was posted on our internet website for both citizen, stakeholders, employees to solicit input to that. I have been requested on the December 2nd director's meeting to actually present some of the components of our strategic planning process to our director's meeting. So I'm looking forward to sharing the process with all my colleagues. The 2015 strategic plan development included the completion of following tasks. It included stakeholder interviews and environmental scan. Environmental scan was a comprehensive look about Portland in general, both from internal and external points of view, direction citywide as far as where we're going and where this Portland Fire and Rescue needs to go. The focus groups were more centralized to specific areas of discussion, and the surveys were the ones that we sent out to the public to solicit input of where Portland Fire and Rescue needs to go in the next 5-year period. As a result of these, we developed goals, objectives, performance measures, and the strategies to support those implementation. And this was based upon four categories: as learning and growth, internal business processes, customer and financial perspectives. The 2010-15 strategic plan is arranged in the four following themes: operational readiness and effectiveness, fire safety excellence, developing our workforce, and maximizing financial resources. Specific areas that throughout the themes was response, prevention, and fiscal responsibility. With that said, there was a whole cadre of individuals that was made this a very successful, a very interesting, and I think productive process. And I'd like to thank specifically Jack Graham, who is the division manager for our management services division, Jan Clay, Cindy Gulke and staff, which is here in attendance, Lisa Kaur and her staff, citizen involvement, Jennifer Cooperman and Nicolette Johnson, Dr. Ju and our other regional partners from Clackamas County Fire, from Tualatin Valley Fire and Rescue, Multnomah County Health, Robert King from BTS, Portland Fire Bureau employees, and all Portland Fire in general, because this was a very open process to where we solicited input. We had over 60 individuals that were actively directly involved with the process, either on the steering committee or actively involved besides what was encompassed within the focus groups and external stakeholder outreach. I'd also like to special thanks to AKT consultants Jeff Guilfrey and Nanita Sammons, Sarah Giardello. I've been involved. This is my fourth strategic plan process. This was the most coordinated, professional, competent, thorough a group that I've worked with that we were very pleased. It was on time, on budget, and an extremely good process, productive process. As you can see, there was a lot of development into process or into developing this document. And on behalf of all the firefighters, men and women in Portland Fire and Rescue, we appreciate the opportunity to continue on with looking into the future. And this plan allows us that roadmap and guideline to track where we are as far as continuing that excellence in public safety response. I am excited of what is in the report and the possibilities that what we can achieve during the next 5-year period. And I asked council to formally adopt the 2010-2015 strategic plan.
Thank you, Chief Gunn. Questions from council?
What level of public involvement was achieved? What was the response to your surveys, and how many citizens did you have involved in the process?
In the strategic plan itself, Commissioner, it has a list of the individuals that are directly associated with both the steering committee, and let me get the page number for you.
It wasn't clear though how many of those were public employees or how many were citizen participants.
I know that we had the it depends on how it's difficult to answer that question because I got staff here, but we sent out surveys to the citizens. We also had individuals from the public, citizens on the focus groups, and I don't have that number in there. I do have a breakdown of who was on the steering committee and who was on the actual the task force, but I can get you that information.
Thank you. And I certainly appreciated being interviewed as part of the planning process as one of the stakeholders early in the process. I didn't see a draft strategic plan since then. Was there a draft plan that was submitted for public review and comment?
Again, what was kind of a living document that was available through our internet site and intranet site. As far as soliciting input for the draft, nothing was formally sent out individually.
So with that in mind, I just saw it myself last night. And so if you could help me find whether something is in here or not, is there anything on evaluating alternative service models, looking at using different smaller vehicles for emergency medical calls?
I think that's a comprehensive, and I have to reference the actual strategic issue or theme. But what we're looking at is some of the key elements is looking at what we're currently do as far as our service delivery model. And what we have seen is a 10 to 15% increase for demand of service. We know that increased demand of service is not just a Portland or Multnomah County issue. It's a national issue of all the jurisdictions involved. And to be creative at looking at and acknowledging that what we're currently do is not sustainable because there's only two ways you can approach this increased demand. And one is to allocate more resources, which in this fiscal challenging times is not an option. And the other one default is to look at what we're responding on. And with that said, is that our current system isn't sustainable because of a couple components that need to be addressed. A key component is the public education component for the proper use of 911. The other one, too, is to be able to effectively separate true emergency code 3 calls from the code 1 non-emergency calls. But currently, the system defaults to fire response regardless of where they're placed into that queue. And so when you get those increased responses, you get decreased response reliability or availability of resources, which increases our response times. So what this plan will address, it will be partnering with our stakeholders, our partners is what we consider with this, and that's BOAC, Multnomah County Health, our physician supervisor, to look at. The first take would be to separate the emergency calls from the non-emergency calls. And then it's the work where we have to really brainstorm is to determine what we could come up with where we can effectively still address the citizens' concerns for non-emergent calls. Because currently, right now, it defaults to a fire response, which increases the number of runs, which increases our response times. And currently, we do not have a model to separate those calls. And we need to collaboratively work with those our other partners to determine what we can do. Some examples of that is to approach it from a public health perspective to see whether there's some avenues to where we can get things that have been successfully deployed in other jurisdictions, such as advice nurse, physician advisories. A lot of the individuals that are calling 911 are looking for just transportation to an urgent care. And it's getting those tools and working together with our partner agencies to just basically brainstorm to see what we can do to still address the public's needs. But the first step would be to separate those true emergency calls from the non-emergency and then effectively develop a plan to where the citizens still get their issues addressed accordingly.
So I'll get to the separating the true emergencies. Is there somewhere in this plan about doing that second step of looking who else could respond to the non-fire emergencies?
Yes, it's again, I don't have it in front of me here, but it is in one of the particular goals. Let me try to find it real quickly.
As long as it's there, I'm happy to take your word for it.
I think it might be on page 28.
That was one of the key issues that was discussed by pretty much everybody that was involved with this is that we need to be creative and look at innovative ideas to educate the public, but also have an avenue and means to address their problems. For the example, Commissioner, is that when a person calls 911, it's a significant issue. It may not fall into the category of a code 3 response by a fire unit, but it is something that's going on that's a significant issue in that individual's life, and we cannot downplay the importance is to that. And currently, right now, we don't have any other recourse but for fire to respond.
So I think I agree, and I think it would be helpful to have that called out, because Commissioner Leonard pointed us to pages 28 and 29. That actually isn't called out there. I was
concerned to come 11 too on page 46, I think.
46. Okay, thank you. That's great. So we can move to pages 28 and 29, which is the addressing of the 911 issues. Mm-hmm. I was concerned that I had not been involved in formulating these, and that Lisa Turley and BOAC had not been involved in formulating these 8 particular strategies. I know you've been working on it, mm-hmm. But we hadn't seen this particular language, which is of concern to me. In particular, I'd like you to clarify what you mean by strategy 1.7, seek funding to establish Portland Fire and Rescue presence at BOAC 24/7 in the capacities of fire liaison and critical dispatch to tactical resource operator, tap out dispatch channel, and ops working channel. Is that just expanding the 2 liaisons that you have now back to the 4 that you had before? Or
yes.
That language isn't clear. And so I want to just put in the record that that's what we're talking about. We are not talking about you.
No,
that is
to get a 24-hour presence with our liaison position for system resource management, interaction during greater alarms, and to assist. I don't think that there's any argument from any of the stakeholders that that was a reduction in overall service when we lost those positions due to previous budget cuts.
And where it says update or establish business relationships and roles and responsibilities with the Bureau of Emergency Communications and its user board members, mm-hmm. What were you thinking on that one?
A lot of it has to do with, again, sitting down with the users, basically parts, components of the system, to actually come up with the creative ideas and solutions to address this increasing demand in our current system to improve that. So this opens up that dialogue. Stepping back a little bit is the director of BOAC was on the external stakeholder list and was interviewed by AKT consultants. But generally with the strategic plans is that once the rest of the group gets together, these things come out, and how you implement the performance measures and specifically the strategies is where that clean palette is, to where you actually initiate and go in a direction to where you know what the overall goal is, and that is to increase our efficiencies and to have those general discussions. And that's where you get the direct interaction directly with such as BOAC, Multnomah County Health, with our physician supervisor, to come together as a group to creatively address and try to find solutions to this. So that, in other words, that's still open. We're still going to have to brainstorm. We still have to work. But it identifies that there's a need, overall goal, that we want to achieve in the next 5 years to address the issue.
And I'd like to have ongoing conversations. Certainly, of course, mm-hmm. We want to provide the best service possible at BOAC. And
absolutely.
That's helpful to get that clarification. I do see on page 47 where Commissioner Leonard pointed us to the trying to sort out how else to use the 911, how to refine the 911 system. I don't see how that really is about developing our workforce. It seems to deal more with public engagement. And I'm wondering, I know you've been working really hard to diversify your workforce and to get more people of color and women into the Fire Bureau. Is that addressed in this plan?
Actually, that's been addressed in our earlier plans, where we've already implemented those strategies that continue on from previous plans. So this again, Commissioner, is what we need to do to address, not a continuation. These are new issues that we want to carry forward in the next 5 years. So we have a current model as far as our diversification efforts with the recruit process, with the trainee and the firefighter, and the outreach amongst our community partners and our recruiter to address that. So that model and program has been successful, and it's already in place.
Right. So I would just have liked to have seen it in the strategic plan as a reminder to folks like me who haven't seen the previous ones. I know, because of what you've been educating me about, that you are doing a great job with that. It would be good to see it referenced in subsequent strategic plans so that others who come new to the process. I did have a question on this goal. You have in strategy 14.3, develop and maintain a partnership with the Office of Neighborhood Involvement and Office of Human Relations to establish contacts and ongoing relations. What did you have in mind for that? Because I don't know that we've
again,
had any conversations about that.
What came through as a result of the process with the interviews and the focus group interaction and task forces is that there was a definite connection and need to engage and partner more closely with the Office of Neighborhood Involvement, more so than what we're currently doing on a station-based level of involvement with the neighborhood associations. But there's common messaging. There's a connection between the information that we feel needs to get out about proper use in 911, smoke detectors with the new code changes. There's recent code changes associated with carbon monoxide detectors that are a requirement, and to be able to do them and use them as an avenue for increased outreach and to expand our capabilities with our limited public education staff. So that's where that increased involvement and connectivity is as a result of those, the input from the external stakeholders.
And which, again, I will welcome, and of course we'll be happy to partner with you on that. It was, again, a little bit of a surprise of not knowing what was being expected of my bureaus seeing this in this plan. I just have a couple more questions, and I appreciate the indulgence of my colleagues. As I said, I didn't get a briefing on this ahead of time. On page 57, where you're talking about secure adequate staffing to support timely maintenance and to implement the facility plan, what staffing do you have for maintenance right now and for facilities planning?
Well, currently in the logistics section, we have both the apparatus maintenance side, apparatus equipment maintenance side, and we have the facilities side. And what this strategy is addressing is to maintain. Oh, let me back up a little bit. One of our current challenges that we have, we're just in the process of finishing up the last two station projects with the fire facilities geobond that the voters graciously passed in 1998. So we're into the closeout. So as a result of that, over the last 12 years, is that we've been able to upgrade our facilities not only seismically but also modernize them. But we need to develop a sustainability plan for our facilities to carry through to where we can maintain and get that longevity out that we anticipate, you know, the 50-year mark. And so with available resource and recognition of we're still in some pretty challenging times budget-wise, is that the limited staff that we have, we're starting to see more and more of a backlog in regards to the maintenance components associated with the fire stations. And so this one, this strategy here is specifically seems to be for us to be aware of that and to look at how we are going to address the workload and the priorities and to make sure that we ensure that we have adequate personnel to facilitate those repairs.
And that'll come through the budget process?
It's basically just to keep track of it and to look at refining our system. We've made some major strides in the last few years as far as how we track maintenance and how the company officers and particularly station captains work with our logistics section on the facility side to prioritize repairs. But what we're seeing is an increase of priority one or high priority repairs to where they automatically kind of override and cue down some of the lower priorities. And so what we're concerned about is that those lower priorities will eventually raise to a higher priority. So it's a management tool.
As always, I'm very impressed with the breadth and depth of your knowledge. As I say, could have asked these questions ahead of time if I'd have known what was coming, but I greatly appreciate your insights.
And the lesson learned, again, this is a process that we value deeply, and your input's greatly appreciated. And to improve on future processes, we'll make sure that drafts get out and we solicit that improvement to where you have enough time to generate those questions to where I can meet with you or the other commissioners to answer them, to where you don't have to do it on such short notice.
Well, thank you very much, and I appreciate that's very helpful.
Additional council discussion on this matter? All right, is there anyone that wishes to testify on 1504?
Veronica signed up, but I think she left.
All right, anyone else? All right, please call the vote.
Leonard?
Well, thank you, Chief Klum, and all the staff that's here and the firefighters and those that you've reached out to for an outstanding document. Very thorough, very, very substantive, and I look forward to work with you on implementing it. Aye.
Fritz.
Well, thank you. This is clearly very well thought through. And again, thank you to all the staff and everybody who is involved, all the citizens, and the consultant. I did appreciate being in that at that stage. And clearly the Bureau of Emergency Communications, the Office of Neighborhood Involvement, and the Office of Human Relations is very glad to work with you ongoing because we are partners in providing public service. Aye.
Fish?
Chief, I have a couple of reasons that would easily lead me to rejecting this document. The first is the fact that you stole Cindy Gawky from my staff and then had to rubbing salt in the wound. You put her in here as the person who's responsible for this project. The second is I saw the recent survey that came out of all the bureaus. And once again, for reasons that I'm not clear about, fire came out slightly ahead of Parks, although I believe the gap is narrowing.
It was.
Thank you. I'm not sure what firefighters have over my Parks Bureau employees, but I'm going to set that aside. But when I was looking at your strategic planning task force and saw that you had not one but two Silvas, I knew this had to be a quality document. So thanks for your great work, as always. It's a pleasure to see the senior team and for me to reflect on the glory days when I actually worked with that team before fate intervened.
How about you vote now? Enough reminiscing.
So, forgive me, it's been a long day, and I'm a little emotional, but nice job, Chief, and we'll be asking for your help when
we'll
finalize
later.
our strategic plan in housing. Aye.
Adams.
Well, we're very blessed to have a great fire bureau led by a great fire commissioner and fire chief. Thank you for all your great work. Aye. We're in recess.
One more item.
Oh, one more item. Can you please read the title and call the vote for 1505?
Approve the designation of 8 trees as Portland Heritage Trees. Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Good work, Commissioner Fish. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. 1505 is approved. We're in recess till 2 p.m.